after a week's hiatus. Time to get our review from the middle. You know the Wednesday leadoff drill. He works for USA Today. Find it at your local newsstand, online, usatoday.com. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at George Schroeder. We welcome back George Schroeder. How are you?
Man, I'm good. How are you, Steve?
All's going well. So NBA finals are over. I'll tell you what, I made this statement after game five. I want to hear your reaction. So Kevin Durant, if you're going to tick off the entire basketball world except for Warriors fans by leaving a good team for the best team and form a super-duper team, well, you might as well win the title in dominating fashion and take the trophy for finals MVP. All work out pretty good for him?
Oh, sure. But listen, I mean, first of all, despite sort of some of the straw man arguments that have been tossed out there by supporters of Kevin Durant, there's not been a question that he's a great player. For years and years and years, we've known that. So good for him for going. And when he went to a super team, he immediately made him better because he became the best player. I think he's the second best player in the world behind LeBron. So he immediately made a 73-win team that should have won the finals last year that much better. And then what he did is what he's done for years. What he did for them is what he's done for years. I mean, he's that good. So good for him. And, you know, I'm not going to be a guy who sits here and criticizes his choice. Obviously in the Oklahoma City area, or anybody's an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, they're all upset that he left. And
sure,
they think that he did the old you can't beat him, join him thing. I think around the NBA people think that too. They just don't have the same level of vitriol about it as the Thunder fans do. But look, you know, they're set up to keep winning. Assuming he, you know, signs with them again and sticks with them for a while, I mean, we're going to be looking back two or three or four years from now as they've run off a string of titles, and how he got there is going to kind of be faded into history.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. You know, as far as the team that signed him, could we also kind of doff our cap and say they drafted Curry, Klay Thompson. They got Draymond in the second round. They made those trades for Iguodala, Sean Livingston, hired Steve Kerr to coach. Bob Myers, the GM, they brought in Jerry West as a consultant. So obviously getting Durant was huge, but man, that's a really well-run organization, isn't it?
Well, it is, because Durant obviously was a guy who was top of everybody's draft board when he came out. You know, you just mentioned a bunch of guys that have worked out perfectly for the system that they're in. And by the way, they're fantastic players. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
Obviously, Steph Curry is one of the top five players in the NBA. He's a former MVP, just like Durant, talking about regular season MVP. So, and Klay Thompson, we all remember him tearing up the Pac-12. He's only a lot better than he ever was in college. Much better shooter than he ever demonstrated in the Pac-12. You know, they've done a really nice job of drafting and then putting together a system, you know, sort of that three-ring circus of shooters that's really, really changed the way the NBA's played. Everybody wants to play that way. They just don't have the guys who can accomplish it. And then you add Kevin Durant, who, you know, that style of play is made for him.
Yeah.
6'10" with 7-foot-something wingspan and arms, and he's got a shooting eye that's as good as any guy that size has ever had. I mean, you know, it's an unbelievable thing. So, yeah, their organization has done great things. Adding Durant was a no-brainer. If he wants to come, you know, that's easy. But just think about how good they were before he ever got there, and that was put together by the front office.
Yep. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. You know, the debate when you talk about the best, you know, if Dan Marino comes up, it's like, yeah, but he never won. Now LeBron takes heat because he's only 3-5 in the finals. But the numbers in the finals, 34 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. I found out, I kind of knocked me over with a feather. That's the best five-game stretch of his entire career. I mean, at what point are you like, look, you really can't ask for more than he did?
Well, look, I'm of two minds on this. First of all, I mean, I think if you're going to be considered the greatest player of all time, the rings are probably going to have to come with it. I don't think he matches up to Jordan before we talk about the rings. Other people might begin to disagree with me. But until he gets the same kind of rings, then it's hard to sort of make that argument. I don't know why we have to. I think he's probably the number two, second best player of all time. That said, asking him to play better than he did and carry a Cavs team that's a nice team. It's a nice team, but did not stack up with this year's Warriors team in any way, shape, or form.
Sure.
Is a hard thing. He did not have the same guys around it. Now, I'm going to say this. If you'd added Kevin Durant to the Cavs, they win it in five games.
You darn right.
But, and by the way, they would still be sort of a lesser parts team, but they would have two, you know, the top two players in the world, I guess. But, you know, it's just that this Golden State team, we can talk about where LeBron ranks and whether he should have been able to push them over the top, but they were up against a team that might be as good as any team that's ever been, given the talent they have on hand now, again, with two MVPs of recent vintage playing at that MVP level.
Now, they're a really fun team to watch. All right, one general question here. I always ask you this when a major event comes up. Tomorrow it's the U.S. Open in Wisconsin. There's a lot of great young players, you know, some big names. But from the George Schroeder angle, when it comes to, like, major golf, what's your level of engagement, and would it help if a certain fella named Tiger was in?
Tiger.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Searching my memory bank. You know, at this point, it doesn't matter to me if Tiger's in or not. Now, I'll say this. If you're going to watch it on TV, which is what, you know, obviously we're all going to do, then it's good that Tiger's not in it. Because even when he's not in the tournament, they seem to, like, have, like, a Tiger cam on him all the time.
Yep.
It's like, come on now. He's not in contention. Or he's six strokes back. He's got no real shot at this, but you're acting like he's, you know, in a duel with a guy in his group, you know, with his pairing. So I get tired of the TV. Now, they also know what sells. They know we all want to watch Tiger. It used to be because he was so dominant, and now it's because of, you know, sort of the tragic tale of a hero's fall and all that kind of stuff. So my level of interest, though, is probably about the same as it would be if the current incarnation of Tiger was still there.
Okay.
And it's mild, and maybe Saturday and Sunday I'll get into it, but tomorrow and Friday it's not going to be that big a deal to me. I guess I'd love to see Sergio play really well, see if he could crank something up. You know, it's funny, not to add any pressure to him. It used to be he was the greatest golfer without a major, right?
Sure.
Now let's see if he can pull off a slam. I mean, he's the only guy this year that can, so let's see.
No, that's a very intriguing angle. College football, last week, Bob Stoops announced he's retiring. It was a heck of a run. He won the third BCS title, played for the title a bunch of times. We know the resume. You live in that state from, you know, to me it was like, wow, that came out of nowhere. What's kind of the general buzz where you are much closer to it as opposed to what we're hearing, you know, way up here that it came out of nowhere?
It came way out of nowhere everywhere.
Okay.
So first of all, when it happened, I was in the mountains of Guatemala. So
you weren't consulted?
No, and I wouldn't have been consulted had I been, you know, on campus or something. You know, they're not, which I wouldn't have been. But no. But the other thing is this. So I live in the area and cover national college football. Jake Trotter of ESPN.com lives in the area and covers national college football. I'm in Guatemala, and he's in Italy. And Bob Stoops hangs it up. And I'm like, you've got two guys who are sort of semi-local who might have had a shot at breaking that news, although Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman broke it and did a great job. And Bob Stoops retires, and it's, you know, it's one of the bigger – it's in shockwaves in college football because it's one of the, you know, it's one of the bigger retirements, especially given the timing and the fact that they've got a team coming back and all that kind of stuff that we've had in a long, long time. You may have to go back 40 years to see it, to when Darryl Royal and Frank Broyles at Texas and Arkansas retired on top of their games or relatively close to that, to find people of similar stature who retired on top. You know, it's just a crazy thing. So I think it stunned everybody. Everybody, people inside the program, people outside the program, everybody was stunned. I do not believe there's any backstory to it that we haven't been told. I think it's as simple as Bob Stoops realized he would like to get out on top. He's got twin sons who will be seniors in high school playing football this next fall. And, you know, you don't have a whole lot of time left in a profession with your family, and you're in a profession that, you know, grinds you up and you know, doesn't leave you with much time for anything else. And so I think he realized, hey, I've got the ability and I'm set up to be able to do this. Why not do it right now?
Well, you know, what struck me is that what an incredibly young man he still is. And I say this, George, because he's like exactly my age. And we have this conversation a lot.
So how old are you, Steve?
56. He was born 56. In September. I was born in October. We're both going to turn 57.
Well, and his father died, was a longtime defensive coach, high school coach in Youngstown, Ohio, where they grew up. His father died, it's my understanding, on the football field.
Right. I read about that.
At age 54. So they have a family history of heart trouble. And that has been that is not why he's retiring, but I'm sure that's because he's healthy. But that I'm sure that's a factor in considering whether or not he should go, is if you can get relieve yourself of a lot of stress, maybe you should.
Very interesting. We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. You know, he's also of a generation. You know, he got his first head coaching gig in 99. He's been really highly paid for almost his whole career. He's made, they said, $55-60 million in salary. So, the guys like Paterno and Bowden really didn't make that kind of life-altering money till later in their careers. Any logic that this generation of coaches who now consistently earn $4-5 million may start walking away younger because they just don't need it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is some of that. I think there's two things that sort of maybe would argue against that. One is all of these guys, and Bob Stoops is included, which is why we're so shocked by this, are hardwired for competition and win and grind. So it's hard, I think, to step away. And I'm guessing it was kind of a hard decision for him because they're hardwired. This is what they do. This is what they know how to do. And now they're left with everything comes to a screeching halt, and what do you do? And I'm sure he'll find something that challenges him. But I think it's hard for them to get to that point. That's the first thing. The second thing is, how many of these guys are actually going to have the ability just to walk away, or because you have to have achieved a certain level of success to do it this way? I mean, I think there are guys who maybe when they get fired might not come back, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, it is.
Now, there is a guy, Gene Chizik, obviously, who didn't have nearly the success of Bob, although he won a national title. He got fired at Auburn after the 2012 season, sat out a couple of years, and then he was the defensive coordinator at North Carolina for the 15 and 16 seasons. And then he quit after the season and in the off season came back to his family that still lived in Auburn and has been hanging out with them and has no plans to go back to football. There's another example of a guy who wouldn't have earned as much as Bob Stoops over the course of his career, but probably if you manage your money, has a kind of a comfortable setup, who just said, you know what, my family's more important. I kind of admire those two guys for that.
No, and he's even a year younger than Stoops.
Right, and that's not saying that the guys who don't make that choice are doing things the wrong way. I'm just saying when a guy does walk away from things successful, you're successful and you walk away, and the reasons are what I think they are, then I have some it gives me more respect for you even.
No, that's a perfect take. Final thought for George Schroeder, USA Today. So ESPN is running this multi-part 30 for 30 series about the Lakers and Celtics of the 80s. I always say that the timing was just perfect. We had Bird versus Magic in the 79 championship game. 6 months later, ESPN comes along, and then these guys join the NBA. So let's flash back. The George Schroeder of the 1980s, your angle and what you remember about that decade and those teams.
So, as you know, I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas. I put on shoes when I actually moved out of the state. So I grew up in Little Rock, and it was interesting because at the time there was no NBA team in anywhere near at all. I'm trying to think, the old St. Louis Hawks were long gone.
Probably Atlanta
at the time. Obviously, the Thunder wasn't there. I guess the Dallas Mavericks would have been the closest thing, and there really wasn't a regional team at all. And so all of my friends basically chose sides.
Right.
And became diehard one way or the other. And I ended up sort of riding the fence, although I probably tilted a little bit towards the Showtime Lakers and against the Celtics. It's probably the way I went. But I just remember it being the kind of thing that divided us because we didn't have our own team. where you could hate them both, right? So everybody chose one or the other. And I do remember those were just knockdown, drag out fun series. And you're right, the sort of the advent of the NBA really becoming something special on TV, and they paved the way for Michael Jordan to take sort of the popularity of the sport to another level.
No, that was actually almost like a baton handoff.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, great stuff. I think we've covered enough, George. Welcome back. I always appreciate your time. We'll catch
Same
up
here.
Catch up next week, and much appreciated.
All right. Listen, hey, we're almost to softball season, and I just want to say go Sluggers.
You got it. Take care, right. George.